Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound, which this week comes all the way from Turin, the jewel in the crown of beautiful, misty old Piedmont. Sure, it's truffle season and you can consider that covered, but mostly we'll be dancing because we're at one of Europe's finest music festivals, Club to Club. It's been going for 17 years, this collection of electronic dance and avant-garde stuff, but you might not have known that. It's a bit of a connoisseur's choice, which is fair enough, but it's also better than that. It's good vibes all round. So join us as we unbutton our tasteful Torinese, Milanese, muted woolen overgarments, hand them in at the cloakroom, and get a little bit turbo in Turin.
Hello everyone, welcome to Glass to Glass Headquarter, welcome to Absolute Support.
Behind every great festival, there are, well, 1,000 volunteers and friends with space in the van for an amp, but there's also a head honcho. Sergio Ricciardone is the artistic director and founder of Club to Club. He lives and breathes it, doesn't he? And he put one of his 300 phone calls on hold to tell us why he titled this year's none more modish and modern festival Cheek to Cheek.
Cheek to Cheek for us was a way to inspire the people, the audience, the crowd coming to the festival and the artist playing at the festival to think about Club to Club as something special, like a unique event where people can share their real interests and real passion about music, art, food, yeah, and a lot of really beautiful things. So Cheek to Cheek is a way to tell the people, tell the artists, tell our community, tell the media that what we're doing is trying to make to connect the people in a real way with our event, through our event, connecting there in a, let's say, in a proper way, not like social networks do at the moment, where everyone is hyper-connected, but is not really connected. And Cheek to Cheek is a strong statement. Of course, it's also old-fashioned. That's why I like it.
Yeah, there's something lovely about it. And you're right, there is something about the anti-social network, or rather the real-life social network of stolen, intimate moments on a dance floor where everyone is feeling something similar all at the same time. There's something about that that you're alluding to, the magic of the dance floor, I suppose, right?
Yeah, it's the magic of the dance floor. It's the magic of music. It's the magic of architecture when you are in a place. And people can have a new feeling that they're sharing something with someone else. And I'm very happy also about some of the artists playing at the festival. I had like private conversations with them. And they were saying to me, well, Sergio, Cheek to Cheek is something that could really inspire us also when we think about our show with the people in the room. And that's a really good thing for us.
I wanted to talk about some of the visual identity as well. You've got these wonderful kind of, they look like Ladro porcelain dolls that you've got on a lot of your visual work this year. It's always striking every year. This year it's particularly beguiling because it's got a sort of nostalgic notion about it as well. How far ahead of the festival do you put into practice your visual look and that kind of side of things, your visual merchandising?
Well, when we think about the festival and we think about the lineup, the programming, and all the things that usually are part of our imagery, we need to have an imagery. Mm. So the Cheek to Cheek imagery is something that came to us very spontaneously. And of course, we like to say that we are an avant-pop music festival. So we were thinking, what could be pop in a new way to communicate the festival? And our graphic designer, Christel Martineau, came with the idea of the porcelains and the dancing figures. And that was something that really stuck us. It was like, oh, this is the idea. Because it's old-fashioned, but it's really new, fresh. And he says a bit more about our imagery, the avant-pop imagery.
Let's talk about venues, Sergio. We mentioned the Reggio di Venaria, beautiful place, an unusual place to go dancing. That was quite an ambient night, wasn't it? It was quite a chilled opening. And then OGR, fill us in on what kind of space that is and how you've inaugurated that into the club-to-club lineup.
OGR is Officine Grandi Riparazioni. It's been there for more than a century. It used to be the place where they repaired the trains, the locomotives. It wasn't a train station, but it was a place where they were repairing trains and locomotives. It's part of our industrial heritage before the car industry. Mm-hmm. So it's really part of our heritage. And it's been renovated recently. It's been relaunched. And it's one of the most stunning places in Italy for arts and music and technology. And so when we were being asked to curate a night there and we put the program in the programming, while we were thinking about the Reggia di Venaria as a place where people could chill out and before everything starts, like the Contemporary Art Week starts, before everything, I was thinking what could be nice to have in a place like OGR. And then we thought about two different souls. The soul, like the spiritual soul, the one coming from Kamasi, Washington. And the other soul, the industrial soul, coming from Powell and Tillmans. And in the middle, we had a beautiful set by Richard Russell from Excel. So we were trying to fill the room with these two souls at the same time, spiritual and industrial.
And finally, Club to Club is called that because it used to be a crawl. It used to bounce from one venue to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's less easy to do in Turin, and I'd imagine in any city in the world now. You're not going to rename the festival, clearly, but how do you try to bring back some of that spirit of the homemade, of the kind of back to mine, which I guess was the genesis of Club to Club?
We've been playing with the name because, yeah, we were born in clubs. Now clubs are bit small for us, or they don't exist anymore, but we still keep the feeling that the club culture is really important for creativity. And I mean, if you think about, I think the best ideas come during the night. And if you go out on a night and you listen to good music and meet nice people, and you are in a beautiful club or a beautiful place, you have better ideas. So we try to keep that in our programming. We are not in clubs anymore, but we still belong to the club scene. We create a big event that is catalyzing all the attention, but we try to inspire people to do their own projects during the year, musicians, other promoters, and we just try to make people feel full of experience, and at the same time, they need to, I mean, a lot of young people need to think how to do their own projects during the year when we are over.
The photographer and artist Wolfgang Tillmans has always been a student and a fan of club culture, and some of his most memorable work is sexy youth caught in moments of bliss and belonging on dance floors or just outside after the party's run. Tillmans has also recorded, an interest he put on hold while doing that little old thing of becoming one of the world's most respected visual artists of his generation. But now, Wolfgang's back. At Club to Club, he was working with the British musician Powell, a music and images type of thing with some startling visuals. So here's Wolfgang Tillmans.
I have felt a performative drive in me in recent years, and I think it also came from observing that talks that I gave have attracted really big audiences, like 400, 500, 600 people, and they really don't move for 90 minutes. You know, you can tell when an audience gets bored. And so these talks, I discovered, are a kind of performative medium. And then also a couple of years ago, I did a video which for the first time featured myself, called Instrument. And it's almost like using my voice differently. And it does feel like returning to a part in myself that, it definitely feels like it's just the beginning.
Okay, well, that's good news. And it's a funny thing. Why, after 25 years of, and this is, I presume, not going to stop, but, you know, being a photographer, a visual artist, a successful one, a very visual one, but not necessarily with yourself in the frame, that you can work in a different medium and suddenly be proud to be in the frame, and it can be a bit more about you or about your image. Is that fair to say?
I mean, that's something for the first concert that Powell and I did in Berlin at the Atonal Festival in August. It was a full-on frontal concert with me on the mic. And after that experience, which I really enjoyed, I think half didn't in the audience, the other half did. I think it was split quite heavily, but...
There's always the A and the tonal in it.
Yeah. And now we decided to actually do a set where I control the visuals and Oscar is having all the vocals on the computer. And it's, of course, great, so I don't have to worry about the timing and intonation. Yeah. And it's, you know, conceptually, to me, it feels completely honest, no? Because that's what the music is, if it's performed live or not. I mean, we are performing it live, and it is a multifaceted thing we're doing, so let's see how it goes.
Stop hiding your light under a bushel. It'll be fine. There was a part of the symposium here, the talks program at Club to Club. You were on stage a little bit earlier, Wolfgang, and you were alluding to the first editorial or the first reportage you did for ID magazine back in 1991 called Techno Will Save the World or Will Save Europe or Bring Us Together. Sorry.
Techno is the sound of Europe.
Techno is the sound of Europe. Oh, we want some T-shirts with that emblazoned on. Maybe that'll be in time for next year. You're a scholar of this kind of music and of the lifestyle and of the life that went with it and the hope that went with it. How do you rate the status of club culture in 2017? Is it I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. It feels like a more diminished place somehow.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if the one cause of the lesser number of clubs in the Western world, one can say, is literally the declining birth rates, you know, because 25 years ago, there were literally several hundred thousand more young people in Italy, in Germany, in Britain. And there is like a shrinkage literally by numbers. But I really decry that different factors have caused in less free urban spaces existing, and people just can't get together for free anymore. Everything is incredibly expensive, everything is incredibly monitored and surveyed, and I have always seen a political side in this, because nightlife is, at best, it is a safe but uncontrolled place for people to be together and experience their love and their bodies, and I even see it in a spiritual way, a togetherness. It's almost like a mini utopia for a night, and that is something where people exist outside of work, nation, sport, church, military, and that is dangerous to the powers. And so there's always been a tendency to control nightlife, and in this process of making the world more streamlined capitalist in the last 25 years, which, you know, people thought was for the better. Not like it wasn't like, let's make an evil plan to make everybody all march in lockstep in the globalized workforce. But as the world has become more streamlined like this, young people feel maybe we have much less room to even go into this utopian place and explore what their lives, what their bodies, what interaction with others could be in a also non-competitive way. You know, like clubbing, of course, has a competitive aspect, who looks best, who pulls who, yeah. But it is a great shared thing, and that's what the festival Club to Club tries to focus on again this year with the motto Cheek to Cheek.
Yeah, it's that title alone. We'll speak to Sergio about this specifically, but it's a nice one, right? I mean, I think it harks back to an idea of joy and romance. It's an old-fashioned idea, isn't it? You can take it in any kind of way you want. What do you read it as?
I mean, it's quite embarrassing.
You should see Wolfgang's face.
It's quite embarrassing, you know. I think my command of English is quite good, and I really had no idea that cheek to cheek is the term for formal dancing. No? So I just thought
it could be taken in any number of ways.
Yeah.
I think people know what you mean.
No, I just thought it's like it's just like people close together, in whatever way, and so the formal dance aspect, I don't know quite how to connect that to club music, because it's difficult. Well, you know, you could do modern dance routines, maybe.
Well, there's a lot of romance in club music and techno music and all this stuff. There's a certain element of romance in it, right? I mean, this is not doing the waltz or the polka necessarily and being very straight-backed and kind of proper and Viennese, perhaps, but there's romance and certainly a lot of joy in the world that you've documented in your work for 20-odd years, right?
Yeah, it's going more towards 30 soon.
Sorry.
But, you know, I never documented it because I wanted to document club culture. I felt so overwhelmed and impressed by what I saw, by this alternative community of people peacefully being together, that I felt compelled to record it for posterity, almost a sense of duty that somebody has to preserve this, because I've always been aware that this is not normal. This wasn't like this 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 2,000 years ago. This is a liberation that happened over the course of 70 years, or I don't know how long. And, you know, as we now see, there are regressive elements in the world, like, for example, in the early 90s, there was a very active and alive Russian club scene, like in St. Petersburg, there were 25 clubs. Now, you know, there's one gay club left. So that I had this sense of, on the one hand, joy. I wanted to communicate the joy and freedom of what I experienced in nightclubs. And on the other hand, a sense of, well, somebody should record this. But I never saw myself as a chronicler. And I could only have taken those pictures because I photographed them from the inside. Yeah. I was never observing, you know. I could have been one on the picture myself, and people looked at me and felt that, like, he's not preying on us.
Yeah. There's an equality in those pictures. Mm. And as you say, you could have been on the other side of the lens. Do you have a sense at the time of the posterity, of the poignancy of it, or were you capturing the joy of a moment, and when you look back, you go, there was something in that? Or did you feel at the time a little bit of instant nostalgia, I wonder?
I mean, there's a photograph called Dancer Opera House from 1989, a black and white, of a young man with cropped hair in a denim jacket. It looks almost like mid-flight, but because it's all black around him, but the neck down. But it just immediately felt to me, this is a picture of a human. This is not a moment in a club in Hamburg, but it could be in any other place at other times. And it's a state of being, just the way that art history has produced other pictures of bodies in moments of rest, in moments of elation, in moments of contemplation. So strangely, even at a young age, I felt totally connected to the moment, and I wanted to have that picture in ID magazine. But on the other hand, I knew this is an art picture. You know, this is in a continuity. I'm just making them with a camera. But I felt like these are contemporary pictures of people, bodies, clothes, fabrics, volumes, light. And, you know, that's what the best art has always done. You know, it speaks about what it's like to be human, generally, through the specificity of its time and media.
To roll the shutter down on our club-to-club shop, we're going to explore one of dance music's more intriguing, subtle, and frankly mad, bad, and dangerous-to-know genres, GABA. What? I could spend a while trying to explain to you what GABA is, but why should I when there's an expert on hand to do it for me? Here's Alberto Guarini, a.k.a. GABA Eleganza.
Gabber is a subculture. First of all, is a subculture born in a Dutch rave scene in Holland, early 90s is was a mix of UK rave, freedom culture, atmosphere, and the new beat, German new beat and techno, Teutonic techno, distorted and faster, and grew up in Rotterdam, the working class and you know most industrialized city in Holland, specifically inside the hooligans scene, this kind of aggressive sound. And step by step, in the 93, 94, grew up so fast, like a new young business in the fashion industry, music industry, and of course in the subculture movement. We call it Gabber, and Gabber is a Dutch Jewish words for see something like friends, but also something like in UK you can call it like a chav. It's a bit a young delinquent, okay, but also a friend. Is a negative but also a positive way.
This music comes from working class culture. This comes from kind of escapism in music, right? This is kind of, it's almost kind of going back to, it's kind of like punk. If I had guitars, it would be punk or something, right?
Yes, right. Is in fact, the first hardcore local records from Rotterdam Records is the first, you know, 100% hardcore label in all the world. The first records is something like a supporters chant from the stadium against Amsterdam, because Amsterdam is usually also now is a fancy town, business town. Sex drugs and rock and roll, not sex drugs and hardcore. You know, a bit different, but you know, when the phenomenon explodes in the mid of 90s, one teenager on three was a gabber.
That's not a subculture. It's going overground.
Yeah, in Holland, it's becoming like a pop culture, but also now, after 25 years, it's still alive. It's a mix of nostalgic, but also hybrid, but at the same time, it's evolved. In Italy, where I come from, it's a bit of subculture. I arrive to the Gabber like my cousin tape, because I come from Bergamo, is you know, in the mid, in the heart of Pianura Padana, the most industrialized working class place in all Europe. If you take, for example, the highway from Venice, from Milan to Venice, is the kind of area is Pianura Padana for 300 and 400 kilometers, you can see only fabric and industry. You know, is a pretty polluted area, probably in all Europe. Gray, aggressive, is a perfect place for explosion of the Italian Gabber scene. My first night ever was like in a disco Irish pub, something like that.
Classic place to start.
Yeah, it's called Merry Lady. And I remember that the cost to enter was a 5,000 lire, like a €5. And it was a facsimile cash with a Jim Morrison face on it. Yeah, I remember really clear.
That is a collector's item now. Someone must have kept those tickets.
Yeah, of course. Because also like a 19th subculture, where many people that collect and stuff.
And there's such a crossover between the fashion of Gabber, the music, which is hard and fast, and as you say, it's kind of like musical escapism, but it's kind of tough stuff. But there is such a specific and kind of rich fashion culture that comes with it as well. Like always comes from any kind of dance culture, but especially kind of working class music culture as well. That's an interesting thing. Was that always part of it for you and for the people that you grew up dancing and attending Gabber nights? Or is that something that kind of came later and was laid over the music?
Yeah, it's the second, because, you know, now my project is called Gabber Elegance, and I have, you know, elegance in the name is absolutely point on the style and on the aesthetic side of Gabber. But at the same time, many people think it was a weirdo phenomenon and think, oh, yeah, it's interesting, you know, that kind of pragmatic look, super unisex, is a bit of skinhead, but at the same time is a raver, but at the same time is a super cool with the track suite. And in the last year, the trend is exploded, is a really huge. In fact, many of my followers come from the hardcore scene, but the major part come from not just fashion, but, you know, outside the Gabber scene. The music is really hard, and many people is afraid of that. And my work is start for understand the aesthetic, but now is the moment to understand also the music and the energy on it, because the subculture is mixed, you know, style and music, like every young subculture.
We talked about, I guess, in Holland, where one in three people go into a club, one in three kids go into a club were into GABA. So the underground was going overground. It was becoming culture, pop culture, whatever. When Raf Simons plays GABA music over one of his runway shows, I mean, then you're kind of seeing it reaching culture, right? You're seeing it reaching the pages of Men's Vogue and stuff like this. Does that feel like someone's jumping on a bandwagon? Does that feel like the music and the culture that you love is finding a new audience?
Now, yes, absolutely. Everybody wants to go on the boat because, you know, I worked with Dior, for example, yeah, with the RDR collection that called me for music supervisor to take some original, you know, stuff to made his you know, mood board. You know, I call you know, a guy from GABA to make, you know, it's nice.
That's,
for me,
that's great, right?
Yeah, yes, for me it's nice because I'm into a new world. I'm really open mind guy, but now, yes, many people wants, you know, join on the boat, but for me, you know, I think the fashion never respect you know, the subculture, always appropriated without respect, you know, cultural appropriation. But at the same time, you know, it's just fashion. It's a business like another.
When you think of it in terms of what you're doing now, advising brands and still making this amazing music and playing here at Club to Club this week and all the rest of it, does it still instantly link back to the polluted highway between Milan and Venice and the industrial heartland of Italy and the nightclubs of Bergamo where you started getting into this stuff?
Yeah, it's a mix. Many people from Italy know very well because it was a huge phenomenon in the early 2000s and the end of 90s, and everybody know a specific, you know, cliche about the GABA guy was, you know, a bit a delinquent guy, take drugs, punch every weekend. Is a bit, you know, tough working class guy. And my project is also created to destroy this cliche, because there is something else after or behind the scene, you know, behind this cliche. And I think that there is a mix of crowd now. Many people in Italy know what is the GABA, what is the heritage and in the past was. And many people, the youngest, know about the aesthetic, you know, the meme about the GABA, the rave tapes, the rave archive video on YouTube, and think, oh, this is cool, because that they haven't a cliche from the past because was too young to live in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, my projects have a power outside the hardcore scene, because it's a really democratic music, the hardcore. It's really easy to understand. Everybody can hate it or love it. You know, it's a bit really simple. It's not like an affix between underground white label records. It's a bit different. It's interesting to know everybody understand my project or the hardcore sound in different country, especially in the country where the GABA never exists and everybody is really, really happy, really energetic. I'm a bit, you know, afraid for tomorrow, because many people in Italy know what is GABA and think, oh yeah, it's a shitty music and people that dress in the shitty tracksuit, you know. It's a bit simple cliche, but for me it's whatever.
That was GABA Eleganza. Isn't he brilliant, bringing proceedings to perhaps an unexpectedly elegant conclusion? Grazie mille, Alberto. And that was Club to Club 2017. We'd recommend booking a ticket to Turin in a year's time. Food, views, and dance till you need a doppio. This show was, of course, produced by Holly, producer Eleganza Fisher. Tune in at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.